Have you ever worked out so hard that you couldn't walk the next day?
I've had that with like upper body stuff, where like maybe you move up some weights on something and then you have to like pick up a pencil the next morning and you can't do it. But I will say I've never been in a workout competition with a coworker.
I can't say that I haven't.
Wait.
I'm not sure.
I think you'd remember.
I have a poor memory for things like that. So if someone told me that that actually did happen, that like, because I get competitive sometimes, so I'm sure I've ended up in some sort of physical competition with a coworker before.
Feats of strength.
Yeah, I can't say that I haven't. So we're talking about the episode Turf War, which originally aired on May 3rd, 2012. It's episode 23 of season 8. Our cold open is Gabe versus Dwight, and they are kind of having this competition about, muscles and strength, and they end up in Dwight's gym for muscles doing a bit of a curling contest, a thigh curl contest, mm-hmm. by Jim's suggestion.
Yeah, Jim just wants to settle who's strongest in the office, right? This is obviously how you would do it.
I remember when people thought biceps were all that. They'd flex them all night at the discotheque.
Oh, I bet you think it's all about core, huh?
Yeah. Core is critical. There are four tenets of Pilates that I live my life by. One, lengthen. Two, elongate.
Listen, guys, I think we all want to know the same thing, right? Who's the strongest? Well, there's only one way to solve that. Thigh curl contest.
I really like this cold open. I think it's pretty funny. I love that they bring back the Dwight's gym for muscles, that we still know that he has this strange gym set up in the office. Although it's not strange anymore. It's kind of legit now, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's got real equipment and not a bunch of farm instruments to move around, which is an improvement.
So everyone goes down to see the competition, and they end up getting a really funny picture of Dwight and Gabe together. They hand them some, you know, telephone parts to like hold up, and they make this funny Photoshop. But I really think that the best part of this cold open was when Robert California comes in and calls a conference room meeting, and Dwight and Gabe can't walk to the conference room. I have felt that before. I've like, you know, going up and down the stairs just like yelling that like your muscles hurt so much.
Yeah.
Totally have felt that, but it's pretty funny that they both instantly collapse on their way to the conference room.
I will say the bloopers for this cold open, you can find them on YouTube, are some of the funniest of the whole series. It's like something about these three guys is really funny, and it's good. It's worth hunting down.
So the main part of this episode, we have Dwight and Jim on kind of like a hot sales streak.
All right, we'll enjoy the alumni game.
We have a deal?
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks so much, Earl.
Wow, simultaneous sale.
And they said it couldn't be done.
Screw them.
We find out that the Binghamton branch has been closed, and so now all of these clients are up for grabs. At the same time, we still have Andy coming around, and there's a new policy where he needs to sign in because he won't leave. He's unflushable.
It's so uncomfortable that he's still hanging around. And I mean, Robert California is trying to get the message across. He has to wear a visitor tag when he's in the office. This visitor in like all capital letters, which is pretty great. And Andy's just not getting it. He's there to cook for everybody. As we see later, he's a little hot plate set up by reception and is making food for people. He just doesn't know what to do with himself, I guess.
This episode becomes a very California heavy episode. This is all about Robert California. He kind of went on a bit of a personal bender the night before. His divorce got finalized, and he got into some questionable activities that led him to come into the office this morning, shushing everybody, and then immediately throwing up in Jim's garbage can.
I had a one-man Saturnalia last night in celebration of the finalization of my divorce. I got into a case of Australian Reds and, how should I say this, Colombian Whites.
And the camera whips around to Creed and Ryan, kind of smiling and nodding like, did Robert California do a bunch of cocaine last night? I think he did.
He sure did. And in his infinite wisdom of this bender, he apparently closed the Binghamton branch. He doesn't remember doing this, but that is the reason all of these clients are up for grabs now.
But closing the Binghamton branch never occurred to me before today. Or, I guess, last night. But in vino veritas, as they say, I'm not going to start doubting my drunken self now.
Yeah, this has created an opening, right? So Jim and Dwight are furiously on the phone. They have a simultaneous cell, which is very exciting for everybody. And even like Stanley's like, you better watch out. Like they're smack talk amongst the sales staff. But they really see it as an opportunity to bump up their numbers. And it seems that this was all very sudden, you know, after Robert California defiles Jim's trash can. You know, Oscar's like, you know, why did this branch close? And it's clear very quickly based on his response and then a piece to camera that Robert California did this while under the influence, that it wasn't a plan. He hadn't thought about closing it before, but now he's closed it and he has to kind of cover for the fact that he did it while, I guess, both drunk and high, but also he has to manage the fallout that's going to happen in the sales department because of it.
So basically everything in this episode stems from Robert California's inebriated decisions. Mm-hmm. So the B plot is focused on this message that he left Nellie the previous night on her phone. She answers him without revealing what the questions were. And so Robert is left with this mystery.
I got your voicemail from last night.
Wonderful.
And the answer is yes, 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 and never.
He enlists Pam to go and find out what's going on. So that becomes kind of our B plot. And then at the same time, we have Jim and Dwight on this hot sales streak. But what I really like is that we get a Jim and Dwight camaraderie episode. Like, they're really working together here. We're not seeing them competing for all of the Binghamton clients. We're seeing them kind of like work together and support each other. And I love that they bring up this one thing that they have been doing, which is they made up a fake salesman. And his name is Lloyd Gross.
The salesmen have a commission cap, but we figured out a way around it.
Lloyd Gross is a fictional salesman we invented to, how do I put this, steal from the company, embezzle, to commit fraud.
Okay, it sounds sketchy, but it helps us get more money.
Yes.
Pam made a drawing of Lloyd. He is a blend of all the salesmen.
So we have like this extra salesperson going on. So that's one of the reasons why Jim and Dwight are working so well together.
But there's this other salesman, Harry, is so upset about it.
Who the hell are Jim Halpert and Dwight Schrute?
Jim, Dwight, what are your last names?
And you are?
Harry Janerone, Dunder Mifflin, Syracuse. I want to talk to you guys right now. Oh, and Lloyd Gross, too. Which one's that guy?
And I love, like, I like this character. I like the casting of Harry. It's Chris Bauer, who was also in The Wire, like every other major guest in The Office, it seems like. He's like perfectly cast as like the angry, kind of threatening salesperson. I think it really works as a guest spot.
Yeah, he shows up because he's incredibly frustrated that he finds out that this branch, that the Scranton branch, is poaching clients. And his argument is that they shouldn't be allowed to cross state borders because Binghamton and Syracuse are both in New York. Harry is from Syracuse, and that it isn't fair that Scranton is taking the Binghamton clients, even though they say that Binghamton is closer to Scranton than Syracuse, which is probably right. I didn't look at a map. I'm just going to, you know, take their word for it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, Binghamton is basically on the state line between New York and Pennsylvania. It's very far south of New York.
So we have this angry, irate Syracuse salesman come in, and he directly calls out Jim and Dwight and Lloyd, which is where we get the reveal of this extra salesman. And they they enlist Toby to play Lloyd Gross. And Toby is very keen on playing this character. He takes it quite seriously.
There he is. That's Lloyd.
Hey.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, which I enjoyed. You know, you could kind of see Toby not doing this, but he's super into it. You know, he's like a no-nonsense character is what he says, and he stands up to Harry.
Stay out of my state. It's in your best interest to stay out of my state.
I've seen guys like you. Big guys who like to push the little guys around. Lloyd Gross eats bullies like you for breakfast.
At some point, he's like, well, if you look in the employee handbook, there's no rule. It's like a little HR slipping into the character, which I like. but they kind of agree that, you know what, Robert should settle this.
How about this? Why don't we just ask Robert? Can we all agree that maybe the CEO should decide this?
Robert's here. Look at us. Bickering like schoolgirls, looking around the room for things to hit each other with.
I don't think we were doing that.
Chair, lamp, plant, table leg, Jim's leg.
Harry is clearly familiar with Robert California. They, you know, I guess they've had run-ins before. They seem to not like each other. And I get the feeling that these other branches don't like Robert California. They don't like that he spends a bunch of time in this one branch. And Harry kind of brings that history to this confrontation, which I think makes it a lot better because in a way, it's like yet another example of Robert California not making a decision when people need one from him. But it's kind of a new twist that really, like, Robert California made this mess, right? This is, it's not like Nelly coming in and taking someone's job. It is like he caused this problem, and these guys want an answer about who can go after this big junk mail client. And he once again is like kind of unwilling to do so and wants things to play out, but he's not able to let things play out this time because it's his mess. And it's such a big deal that the world sort of moves on without his decision. The decision is taken away from him ultimately in this episode. So I like that twist on it, as opposed to it just being whoever wants their way gets their way. It's kind of a new take on Robert California's, you know, inaction most of the time.
I really love the way this episode plays out because I feel like every part of it makes a lot of sense. Like the way the plot is moved along. We have, you know, Robert California going off on this bender, and he has a great reason to do it because his divorce is finalized. And then we have the consequences of his actions during the night that we are now seeing manifest in the office. And then at the same time, we have Andy kind of hovering around as like this, you know, he can't leave the office alone. And through all of this, we have these arguments back and forth, and they all seem to like come from places of like a logical progression. And so I like seeing all of this go down. We have a Robert California and Andy confrontation in the kitchen while Andy is cleaning up the pots and pans he was using for his strange cooking reason for being there. It seems like Andy is just manifesting any reason to be in the office. And it becomes a side thing because what is really there, it's like it's meant to bring Andy into the office. And so we have Robert California kind of having this confrontation with Andy. And that's when we get Harry and we get Dwight and we get everyone kind of stuck together in this kitchen. And it comes about that, like you said, they're arguing over who should make the choice. And so they're waiting for Robert to make the choice.
We need you to make a decision.
Make a decision.
I've decided. Neither of you are to have any contact with either Prestige or any other Binghamton client until I've figured out how to divide things up.
Andy is kind of caught in all the middle of this, and he's the one that ends up leaving with this information first.
Some bizarre energy in this place today. Robert going off the rails, making some funky decisions. Like, why is nobody going to call on Prestige? That is a huge client. I mean, they could give their business to the first person to walk in the door. Could be any idiot.
So he takes off to go and try and get this big client. As he says, any idiot could just walk in and get this client yeah. from them. I love that Andy takes this initiative. And so while Jim, Dwight, and Harry are waiting for Robert California to make a decision, and Robert California is just vamping. He is just taking up as much time as possible in the confessional talking about geishas.
Are they still there? They want a decision who gets the big client. Well, they can wait. I'll still be talking about geishas long past their bedtime. You know, I trained as one.
It occurs to Harry that he can just leave and kind of go pursue the client. So he leaves. Jim catches on that Harry has left. And now Jim and Dwight are pursuing Harry to stop him from getting the client. I really like the whole cascading effect that we have here in this episode that moves it along. And it all makes sense because everyone comes to these realizations like on their own and in like a really funny way. I love the way this all moves forward, and we end up kind of this like really sad little car chase where they pull up to a red light and Harry is there and Jim decides to open up the passenger side door to stop him for like him. What, 10 seconds? it's such a great little like Amazing Race kind of bit that we have in pursuit of this client that is just kind of left open for anyone to grab.
Yeah, I like it too. You know, I think this episode, maybe rightfully so in some ways, people compare it unfavorably to the Michael Scott Paper Company, you know, where Michael goes into the client, steals it from Dwight. So Dwight is chasing down someone else trying to make a sale like he does in this episode. But I think there's enough difference in the way this episode plays out that I don't mind the echoes of that previous storyline. I think that it is funny and distinct in its own way from the Michael Dwight story from seasons ago. And I think a lot of that has to do with that, you know, Jim and Dwight are on the same team and they're normally not, right? Like, we know they're actually friends, but they're normally not pulling the same direction very often. And so the fact that they are trying to make this sale against this other salesperson, they are working together in their own ways. I think it works. You know, I when I sat down to watch this episode last night, I thought, man, this is going to be kind of a repeat. And I feel like it stands on its own a lot better than I remembered.
Until you just brought that up, I didn't make that connection, which seems really dumb because I know this series like inside and out. But I was enjoying this episode strictly on its own. Mm-hmm. You know, like I totally forgot about that other plot where they kind of do exactly the same thing. Again, it comes up again in this season where they're just like reusing stuff. But for some reason, for me, this felt totally fresh. Like, I wonder if it is because of the Robert California angle. And then we also have like the B plot where he left some sort of message for Nellie. And now they're trying to figure out like what this message was. I really like that sprinkled in because it is all centered on like the consequences of actions.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed this episode kind of in a bubble, and I was actually pleased and thinking that this episode has been better than the ones that have been surrounding it. And I liked that a lot. I felt like it felt a little rejuvenated. But now that you bring up that it really does mirror that other episode, I don't think it brings it down for me, but I guess maybe it's a testament to the writing that like I didn't quite notice it and I was just enjoying it because the writing is really good. There's a lot of great jokes in this episode, and I think it moves really, really fluidly. And so I was just caught up in the whole action of it.
Mm-hmm. I really like the action when they get to the office of this company. Dwight and Jim run in. Dwight uses his belt to try to like tie the door shut, and then like power slides into the elevator.
With his pants falling down.
Yeah, but then immediately Harry's there, like sticking his hand in. They like jump back. Dwight's plan didn't do anything at all. And we learn that they're just too late.
Hello, sir. Good day. Dwight K. Schrute, Dunder Mifflin Scranton. Forgive my pants. They fell down. An appointment with Mr. Ramish, please. Right now is fine. No. I was here first. Dwight K. Schrute, Dunder Mifflin Scranton.
Hi. What's going on?
Ramish, Harry Janarone, Dunder Mifflin, Syracuse.
I was here first. Sorry about this.
Okay.
I already made an appointment with your secretary.
Let me stop you all right here. I've already picked a new paper supplier.
Wait, it's not DM Utica, is it?
No. It's not Dunder Mifflin at all, actually. It's Big Red Paper Company.
Big Red Paper Company?
Mm-hmm.
Andy got there first, right? Andy makes this sales pitch Again, similar to Michael's and Michael Scott Paper Company, if Dunder Mifflin is slow and overpriced and I can be nimble and here's a key to my house and Wi-Fi password, and Andy just beats him to it. And I like that Andy is the winner. You know, obviously it's going to move some things forward as we see at the end of the episode, but I also am just glad for the Andy character to finally get a win because he hasn't had many of those recently.
I do want to mention that the client that Andy and everyone tries to pitch to, the CEO or the president of this junk paper company, is, all right, I'm going to, this last name is very long. Dan Castellaneta.
Nailed it.
Anyway, he's the voice of like every Simpsons character.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. I love that he's on here.
Yeah, I love that he has nothing going on, and the receptionist is like, yeah, you can just go in. Like, he's not doing anything.
Hello, Andy Bernard to see the CEO.
Oh, do you have an appointment?
No, I do not.
Okay, I think I can squeeze you in.
Seriously? Because I could just be anyone. I mean, I thought I was going to have to convince you.
He's really not that busy.
Is there someone here to see me?
Yes, this man.
Come on in.
So after learning that they have lost the sale to Big Red Paper Company, they have like this great, it's kind of the tag at the end of the episode, which I think it kind of nicely flows into. But we have these three guys, we have Jim, Dwight, and Harry, kind of grabbing a coffee, realizing that they've been defeated, and having a little chat about the future of the company or what they want, you know, what they want going forward here. And Harry lets loose that he doesn't think that the company is going to last 6 months under the leadership of Robert California.
So what would you do if you weren't selling paper?
Oh, man, I'd have to sell beats. Probably submit them for competition.
What?
Yeah, I know it sounds stupid, but Nationals has always kind of been a dream of mine.
How have we never talked about this before?
Wait, you don't even care about Nationals.
Nothing?
I don't know. I've always wanted to own a bike shop, but what about you?
I'd like to sell one big thing, you know, like a plane. One sale, I'm out.
That sounds lovely.
Anyway, Robert's going to run this company into the ground, so we won't be doing this in 6 months.
Harry is like the voice of outside reason a little bit, and maybe because Robert is just in and out of their office all the time, Scranton people maybe they haven't really seen, you know, what he's actually doing or like what's actually going on. And Harry seems to really nail it. Even though they dislike each other, he seems to really understand what's happening here. And it sort of puts Jim and Dwight both, it kind of like snaps them to attention a little bit. Because they've been joking, you know, right before this, it's like, Jim is making fun of Beat Nationals, which is an event I definitely want to go to. It's also a nice way to offset what Andy's actually doing, right? Because Andy has not only made the sale, he is using it as leverage against Robert California. So we've seen now, kind of in three different ways, how Robert is maybe like in trouble with his job, or at the very least isn't doing a very good job. We have Harry's insight as someone who is a bit of an outsider to us. We have him closing this branch in the middle of a wild night. And then we have Andy outsmarting him and basically giving him the opportunity to buy this business back. But Robert goes on the defensive, and it's going to cost him dearly. And that's, I mean, this episode, I think, is the best we've seen in a while. I think because all of this working together from different angles, like you said a second ago, like all of these different points of view, I really like the way that it plays out. And I like that it's not just Andy versus Robert California, but it's kind of Robert California against himself, really, at the end of the day.
So I do want to talk about Andy's business savvy here, where he doesn't just take this client, but he's using it as leverage.
Right.
And I think that that's a really important step that is moving this episode forward, even more than like we initially thought it would. It's quite the surprise, really, that he takes this initiative. And not only does he make the sale, which again is very similar to the Michael Scott Paper Company stuff, but he takes it further and he's now leveraging this against Robert. And then eventually he takes it to David Wallace. And this is substantial because this is now pushing the plot even further into something else that we're like, where is this going?
Yeah, I love the phone call that Andy makes to Robert. He's in his car, we parked in front of David Wallace's house, and he has this exchange with Robert.
Yeah, hello?
You once put me on a list of the losers in the office. Well, this loser just got your biggest client to give him all their business. So hire me back. That business is yours.
Don't, and I will find another buyer. You're blackmailing me.
It's just business.
Well, I will not be blackmailed by some ineffectual, privileged, effete, soft penis debutante.
You want to start a street fight with me, bring it on. But you're going to be surprised by how ugly it gets. You don't even know my real name. I'm the Lizard King.
I was like, I will not be blackmailed. You know, you don't even know my real name, which is a very like shocking line the first time I saw it. It's like, wait,
so good.
His name isn't Robert California? Like,
of course it's not Robert.
That's what
California.
His ex-wife knows him as.
Right, Mrs. California.
Yeah. So there's something going on there. And Andy's like, well, you know, I gave him a chance. And then I love the shot that basically swings around and reveals that Andy's in front of David Wallace's house. He knocks on the door. And he tells David very, I think very like boldly and from like very solid footing that, hey, I have a business opportunity for you. Dunder Mifflin could be twice what it's worth if it's managed correctly. And David Wallace bites. He invites him in and it's kind of where we leave this. But, you know, now we know why David Wallace was in the last episode at the fundraiser. Why Andy and Dave, you know, David has been on Andy's mind, I guess, because they ran into each other. And I just love that was Andy's plan, that he knew that David Wallace had all this money from the Suckett sale and he could maybe be a way out for the company. Yeah, go Andy. I mean, super savvy move here.
Yeah, they really used the David Wallace plant like very quickly. I'm almost glad they didn't let that simmer too long and then be like, oh, yeah, you talked to David Wallace. It's like back-to-back episodes. We have this idea planted that David Wallace is now like flush with cash. And now Andy takes that knowledge and he immediately applies it. And I think that that's really effective. And we do have a great timing on this because we're seeing Robert California. We've seen him kind of, as you say, he is adverse to making final decisions about things, but we are also seeing him kind of lose interest very quickly in like what's going on. So we have him going on this giant bender. We have him kind of erratically closing a branch. He does not seem to be as committed. He's kind of, he's getting distracted easily. And I think that that's one of the things that like kind of comes up and is startling about his lashing out at Andy, because as soon as Andy provokes him a little bit, we have Robert California, you know, getting pretty aggressive and saying like, it's not my real name. I'm the Lizard King. Like he is trying to shut this down desperately, but he's also kind of still in this like really hungover state. And I feel like his decision making is becoming more and more erratic. I mean, yeah. He's let Nelly kind of just walk into the office. He doesn't seem to be very invested in this company. He's just kind of, it's like a toy for him almost. And we're seeing this really change. And now Andy is using that and possibly, you know, making some big waves here.
Yeah. The episode ends with Andy holding all the cards, which is not something that we have seen before. Even before the things were chaotic, Robert California was still firmly in control, and Andy has taken that away from him with this move.
So we should mention the B plot, which is essentially a phone call to Nelly, like we mentioned, another result of Robert California's bender. But now that Pam is kind of on the case, Robert manipulates Pam into finding out what's going on with Nelly.
Apparently, I left a phone message for Nelly last night, and I need you to find out what I said.
I am a little busy.
Yes, of course. Why don't you list the things that would keep you from helping me?
Yeah, I can make you a list.
Let's do it now. What's number one?
Why don't I help you now?
There we go.
Okay.
He also employs Angela as a backup, and Pam steals Nellie's phone. And this is where we hear a lot of personal details about Nelly. And I really like how they did this, because we were talking about, you know, how we've gotten Nelly to become a little bit more integrated. The idea of like her in the office, it's not very, this episode was not even like focused on her being the boss of at all. And she's just kind of there in the office. And we get this really quick glimpse into Nelly's personal life in the form of voicemails that are left on her phone. So Robert and Pam are going through all of the voicemails to find his voicemail so he can know what he actually asked her.
Hello, Nell, it's Mom. Do keep your chin up. It can't possibly be as bad as you describe.
Oh, yes, it can.
This is MasterCard. You are over the limit. Send the minimum payment of $448 by Monday, or we will be forced to send it to collections.
Shopaholic.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Hi, sis. Is your boss still hitting on you?
Bye.
This is Annie from Second Nest. I'm sorry, but the Romanian orphanage felt more comfortable with a two-person nuclear family than a single mother, so we're going to hold out
for that. Okay, that's enough.
No, no, Pam, we need to get to the bottom of this.
No.
Come on.
Robert! Okay, oops, so I deleted them all. They're all deleted.
Pam, you've completely bungled this.
We get a lot of information about Nelly in a very, very short quick way. And I think that that's super effective, because now all of a sudden we are becoming more...
We're more empathetic with her.
Right. Yeah. The empathy for Nelly is greatly increased from the audience, because now we know all these personal details, where like so many other cast members, we've had seasons to get this kind of information from them. And with Nelly, it's like super truncated, because now we're one episode away from the end of the 8th season, and we know that there's only one more full season left. And it's not a show about Nelly. So I really like that they did this, and now we have so much more sympathy, so much more empathy, so much, we feel a little bit more connected to Nelly's struggles. And I think that that is even emphasized more when we see her talking head confessional, kind of like her perspective of like what's going on in her life. And we are seeing that she's trying to put on like a good face about like all the things that are kind of going wrong behind the scenes. And we would have never known it was going wrong if we didn't hear those personal messages. And so I love how effective that was in this episode.
Things are looking up. I might be a mother soon. I have MasterCard right where I want them. And I have a new friend. A friend. At work.
Yeah, the voicemails are heartbreaking. And it's personal stuff. She's had trouble with her credit card. It sounds like a potential adoption has fallen through. It is a super efficient, fast way to kind of pile on everything that Nelly has happening, but I think it works. And we add this to like what we have learned about her previous relationship with the stage performer and everything else. You know, I think that the show kind of has to soften Nelly up if the character is going to stick around. And this is a pretty it's pretty brutal to hear it all back to back to back, but that's exactly the point. And it definitely works on Pam, who sort of like, she actually deletes the voicemail, so they don't ever hear what Robert California said. And then when she goes to return the phone to Nelly, she empathizes with her about the things that are going on. And Nelly, of course, is oblivious to this and is still very optimistic about all of these things in a talking head a little bit later on. But we are Pam in this situation. We hear this, we kind of realize really how much pain this woman is in. I mean, she has a lot going on, and we feel for her along with Pam. And I like that trajectory for this character, because you're right, they do have to do this quickly. They do have to make it like believable and work. Like, listening to those voicemails is like overwhelming and heavy, but that's how it would feel to have those voicemails on my phone. And so it's totally relatable.
Yeah. So I think overall, this episode was a real success with moving a lot of the plots forward and like where we are in the series. There is still some bit of turbulence and drama going on with the company now that Robert has acted so erratically and closed the Binghamton branch. And we are also left with knowing that Robert California isn't his real name. Like, there are some mysteries to be solved. Mm-hmm. We know that Andy is talking to David Wallace again, you know, that having that character brought back. There's a lot of changes afoot, and I really appreciate that kind of going into the last season.
Me too. I think this is a high point towards the end of this next to last season, and I enjoyed rewatching it way more than I thought I would. And it's just there's a lot of like actual for me laugh out loud moments in this episode, especially with Dwight and Jim, like the NOS and the Subaru, and he hits the windshield wipers. I watched this episode twice and I laughed out loud both times, knowing it was coming. Still so funny.
Does this thing have turbo? Nitrous? Hit the NOS.
NOS? You mean like in Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have NOS.
Hit the NOS.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Brace yourself. 3,
we got
2,
it. Go.
1. Here we go!
But we have one more episode left in this season, so we'll be back next week talking about Season 8, Episode 24, Free Family Portrait Studio, which might be one of the longer episode titles that I've seen in a while. And until then, you can go and find us over at tall_beats, or you can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and join us in the conference room, our members only Slack. And we are playing Office Trivia. It's coming up. And so if you want to play, please join and become a member over at The Incomparable. Or if you just want to listen to the episode and you want to hear us play some trivia, it's going to be members versus hosts. So we will we'll be doing that this month as well. And all right, so Steven, if that is even your real name.
I'm the Lizard King.
Is it just me, or is our boss a freaking weirdo?
When's the last time you lived so intensely that your brain literally couldn't hold the memories in?